Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We're now in Masachet Chulin Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Bet at the bottom of the Amud, looking at the second Mishnah in this, the seventh Perek. Shalech Adam Yarech Le'oved Kochavim Shegidon Hashem B'tocha Mimnei Shemekomo Nikar. A person is allowed to send a full file that's not been cut up to a non-Jew, even if the Gidon Hashem is obviously still inside of it, because it's clear that it's inside of it, it's seen. Implying that the concern is that a Jew may then buy it from this non-Jew, but he'll know that Gidon Hashem was not removed because he'll see that it's entire. Now the Gemara says, Shlema in Chatuchalo, the clearer implication from this Mishnah is you can only send it if the thigh is entire. Mayaskin, Ilam Makom Shem Machrizin, so we're going to hear, find out very soon, that in, there were some places with the Adam in Hag, that if an animal was found in the slaughterhouse to be a trefa, they would publicize that, and everybody would know not to buy any animals from the non-Jewish meat brokers who would be in the slaughterhouses because they may be dealing with a trefa. And therefore, if there was a day in which no such announcement was made, you could buy from them directly. So now, but on the other hand, in those cities where they would not ever make such an announcement, you could never buy from a non-Jewish broker because it might be a trefa, which means you would never buy meat from a non-Jew. In which case, you should be able to send any leg to a non-Jew, even if the Gidon Hashem is not in and if it's cut up, because no Jew is going to buy from him anyways. Chatucha nami lishtole. Ta'alo atu lumis padmin, everybody's going to buy from him. El makosh machrizin. It must be in a place where they do make such announcements, and they didn't make one that day, that's what we assume. Shlema nami lishtole. You shouldn't send a shlema. Why? Tachatich le'imazbim, and he'll cut it up and sell it, because if the Jew didn't hear an announcement that day, he'll buy meat from a non-Jew. So, ba'item makom shemachrizin, ba'item makom shemachrizin. We can answer it either way. Let's try this. Ba'item makom shemachrizin, perhaps this is a place where they do make announcements. Chitucha do'ved kochav midi adia. Evidently, the way that the Jewish shochet cuts and the way that the non-Jewish meat broker cuts are significantly different enough that a person would recognize it. And he would see this guy cut it. Right at Makom Shem Machrizin, it could be a place where they do not make achraza. Gzer Hashem Yidenu Lo B'fei Yisrael Acher. Really, you should be able to give him a cut-up one, because nobody's going to buy from anyways. But what happens if you give it to him, if the Shochet gives it to him in the presence of another Yisrael? The other Yisrael will assume, he called me here to see it, to see that it's proper. And therefore, somebody will bite. And this opens up a very interesting door. Because what's happening is when you sell the non-Jew the thigh with the Gidon Hashem or give it to him, you are fooling him, you are defrauding him, not financially, but you're giving him a wrong impression that he thinks that it's a proper fit and a thing for a Jew, and he could sell it, give it to his Jewish friends. You're not allowed to fool people or misrepresent yourself. And this is, again, not with the financial component. Even a non-Jew. And now we're going to hear some stories about this. This statement of Shmuel was not really a statement. We inferred it from something that happened. Why? He was crossing a bridge. He was crossing on a ferry. Go give something to the ferryman to make him feel good. So he gave him something, and Shmuel was upset. My time, Ikpid, why? Amar baye tarnagolet trefa havi. They had a tarnagolet, which is a trefa, chicken that was a trefa. V'yavaniyela b'mar shchuta. The servant gave it to this guy, and this guy, this non-Jew, and said, as if he gave it to him with the impression that it was a shchuta. Right? And therefore, we got the impression from Shmuel's being upset that you're not allowed to fool somebody, anybody. Rav Amar Anpaka Amar Le'lashkuye. No, it was something else. That Shmuel told him, give him some Anpaka, which is pure wine. Ashke Chamer Mezige. Instead, he gave him diluted wine. Now, Achim Michlal Amai. Now, what's the difference if we heard it from Shmuel explicitly or we inferred it from these cases? The answer is because if you hear something from Shmuel directly, so you know that's the halacha. If you infer it, you have to make sure that you're interpreting the events correctly. Lamandam or trefa, according to Abaye's explanation about the trefa, well, Maitisha Asura, maybe he had a different reason for being upset with the servant. Not because he was fooling the goy, but said, why were you holding on to a chicken that was Asur? And according to Rava, Anpeka Chaya Mashma. It wasn't because he was upset that the servant was fooling the goy. He was upset because the servant wasn't doing what he told him. I told you Anpeka, which means it implies pure wine and not diluted wine. All right, we're going to have much more here about Kenevat Dat. Tanya Hayar Meomer. Al Yisarhev Adam Machavero Visoretzlo, Yodea Bosheino Soed. You shouldn't pester somebody to come eat at your house when you know he's not going to. Meaning he's fasting that day, or he's on a diet, or whatever reason, because you're giving the impression that you want to host him, but you really know it's not going to cost you anything because he's going to say no. And don't offer him a lot of gifts that you know he's not going to accept, whatever the nature of the gift is. Let's say you already sold your wine on consignment, or not on consignment, you sold it to the storekeeper, which means you have to open up the barrels today anyways for him to come and take it. And you should not open them when this guest comes, Ellen Kano deal, unless you tell him, listen, I'm opening these anyways, so I'll give you some wine. Because otherwise you're giving him the impression that you're going to a great expense to honor him, opening up a barrel of wine, much of which may now go to waste if you can't finish it, whereas the reality is you had to open it up anyways as you're selling it to the storekeeper. And don't give him an empty vial of oil and say, here, I have some oil. But there is a catch to all of this. Because a lot of this, actually all of this, has to do with your intent. What are you trying to accomplish? So in these cases, it seems like you're trying to get him to feel like you're honoring him and you have feelings for him, which are not accurate, and you're really not willing to spend anything because you know he's going to say no anyways, or you know there's nothing there. So therefore, we say, let's say there's other people around, and you want to show that you honor this fellow, so you give him the vial, knowing he's going to turn you down anyways, but at least everybody else they gets the impression that you're honoring him. But if you're fooling him, then it's no good. Ula came to visit Rav Yehuda and Pumadita, and Rav Yehuda opened up barrels that had already been sold. So the answer is, I'll do all day. Rav Yehuda told him, he said, these are barrels that are going to be open, but I'm happy to open them for you. Perhaps it's because Rav Yehuda really had a lot of chavivut for Ula. So even had he not sold them, he would have opened them. In that case, it's okay. But if you only open them because you had sold them, and then this fellow comes along, you're not allowed to open them without telling him, listen, I had to open them anyways because you give him the wrong impression. Tana Rabbanan, lo yelech adam leveita evel uviado lagin amit kashkesh. Don't go to the Beit HaEvel with a bottle that's empty, but it's making noise, but it makes it look like you're bringing a nice bottle of wine. And then don't fill it with water so it looks like it's full because you're fooling him. But if there's other people there who are visiting, then mutar, because then it's showing that you're mechabed him. You're not trying to fool him, you're trying to show him the honor. Sandal shel meita. Now, sandal shel meita means a shoe that's made from the hide of an animal that died, as opposed to a shchuta. This evidently in Sefer Hasidim got misread, and from it came a very interesting custom of people not wearing shoes from dead people. And so, but that's not what the intent here is. You shouldn't sell it within the context or under the impression of it being from a chaya shchuta. There's two reasons for this. First of all, you're fooling him. It's also dangerous. What's the danger? So they believed if an animal died because it got poisoned, that the poison would still be in the pelt and it might still be in the shoe. Don't send him a barrel of wine, but there's oil on top. So when he opens it up, it looks like it's oil, which is far more expensive. And this thing was a gift. It's not a sale. There's no fraud here. They're a financial nature. Look what happened. A guy sent a barrel like that to his friend. And he invited a bunch of friends to a big party, and he was going to use this oil. He opened up, found that it was not oil, it was wine. Chanaka, that's why he was so embarrassed and found no way out, he killed himself. Here we're going to hear even a worse story. You have guests at a house, they're not allowed to give what the Balabite gave them to the Balabite's children. Unless you first ask the Balabait, do you mind if I give some of this to your kids? And here's the story behind it. A guy invited three guests over during drought years. All he could put was three eggs in front of them. The son of the host came, and Natal Achad Mehen Chalko, so one took his egg and he gave it to him. So now the son has three eggs, which is a feast in those days, days of drought. So he had one in his mouth, two in his hands. He was so angry at his kid that he struck him because he thought he'd stolen from the guests, and that's why the guests shouldn't give it to him unless they asked for shoot. And he killed his own kid. Mother saw this. She killed herself. So he killed himself. So three people died because this guest kind of violated protocol. There we go. So what did I need that last line? To tell me that the entire bright is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay. Now we go back to the Gidon Asher. If the thing is entire, is complete, you don't have to take it out. Chatuchah, this is you're sending to a fellow Jew, you're sending it as a gift. Chatuchah, but if it's cut up, then you have to take it out if it's cut up, because he won't be able to see that it's not cut up. Uvagoy, if you're sending it to a goy, ben chatucha ben shlema, ein tzrich litol mena gidon asher. You don't have to take it out, even though our Mishnah said differently. Let's see. Bnei shnei dvarim amru, ein machrin nevela trefot loved kochavim. But there's two reasons we say you're not allowed to sell a nevela trefa, not a yarech legid, nevela trefa to a goy. Echad bnei shvateu, you're fooling him because he's getting from a Jew. He thinks it's kosher food. He don't think he'll have Jewish customers. Echad shemechzor b'karan al Yisrael acher, maybe he'll sell it to another Jew. And he won't tell him, and he won't have a reason to tell him. He said, I bought it from a Jew. Before we get to that, just to clarify, so the first reason is because you're fooling the goy. And that goes back to Shmuel's original statement. And also, you shouldn't say to a non-Jew, here's a dinar, a certain amount of money, and go buy basar from him. There's two reasons. First of all, some guys are tough guys. What are they going to do? They're going to go keep the money and force the storekeeper to give it to them for free or for some very reduced price. And you don't know it, but you're now eating ill-gotten gains. And perhaps the storekeeper will also sell this goy and he might not say I'm representing the Jew. So I said before that this bright is at odds with the Mishnah, because it said that if you send a Gidon Asher to a goy, whether a yarech, a thigh to a goy, if it's whether it's cut up or not, you don't have to take out Gidon Asher. Now, my asking, what are we talking about? Even Makom Shemachriz, and if this is a place where they do the achraza, we'll talk about the achraza at the beginning of the next podcast. Then you certainly have to announce. You have to take out the Gidon Asher if it's cut up, because after all, Kevin the Loachruz, since they didn't make an announcement because they didn't find a trade for that day, some Jew will buy from him. Today's the day it's safe to buy from Goyim, and he'll buy it. And he won't be able to see that the Gidon Asher is out because it's cut up. And it must be in a place where they're not machriz, which means nobody ever buy from him. So the Eimah Metziata, what's the next part of that statement? Now this has to be a place that machrizim, because otherwise nobody's going to buy from him. So that means the first clause that we read about the Gidon Asher had to be a place where they don't make announcements. And now, the second clause, or the next clause, which is about why we don't sell nevelot trefot to a goy, has to be in a place where they do announce. Eima seifa, what about the next clause? Right, then perhaps they'll sell this goy nevelot trefot. Who cares if it's a trefot? Who's that machrizi? They would have announced it, because it's a place to do the achraza. And therefore, nobody would buy from him anyways. Ela pshita b'makom shein machrizin. It must be that that's in shein machrizin. So now reisha v'sef makom shein machrizin, siyata makom shein machrizin. We have a brayta that's sort of strange. The first clause about nevelot trefot must be in a place that ain't machrizin. The last clause, which is about giving him money to go buy for you, has to be in a place that ain't machrizin. And the middle clause about gidon hashem has to be in a place that yes machrizin. So I buy in. So what? Reisha v'sef makom shein machrizin, and siyata makom shein machrizin. It is what it is. Rav Amar, no, kulam makom shemachrizin. I could say that the entire breita is makom shemachrizin, which of course means the reisha and the seif have to be explained. So reisha and seifa shechrizu. It could be in a place where they already did announce they found a treif, which means nobody's going to buy from the goy today. And therefore, in the case of the nevelotu treifot, in the case of the nevelotu treifot, in the case of the Gidon Asher, nobody's going to buy from him because there are machris that there was a trefa found. In the Seifa, we're afraid that they're going to give this guy Nevelot to trefot because they're giving it to a goy. In the Metziata, why we don't sell Nevelot to trefot, it's a case where they didn't publicize it. Rashi Amar no, kulam makom shein machrizin. I'll solve everything as Makom Shein Machrizin, which is the Reish and Sefer fine. Siyata Gzera Shem Mikoranam B'fnei Yisrael. Again, like we had before, perhaps he'll sell it in front of Yisrael, and they'll think it's okay. Now, parenthetically, Heichi Machrizin. Right? What is the language of the Achraza? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Nafal Bisrael B'nei Chela. Meat has fallen for the people of the town. That's a way of saying it. V'nei Nafal Treifta B'nei Chela. Why don't you say a Treifa is there for the people of the town? The answer is Lo Zavni. That nobody's going to buy it because a treif, it sounds like not good enough for us, but for you. But now you're fooling them by saying that. And the answer is inu tekamati nafshayu. And this is an important point about Gnevat Daat. When you say something that's directly misleading, like I'd like you to come over for dinner tomorrow night, when you know the guy's going out of town, then you're fooling him. But if you don't correct his misunderstanding, all you're doing is allowing him to confuse himself. That's not your problem. So therefore, when you say meat is available to people in the town, what you really mean is a trefa, there's nothing wrong with it. You just don't want to denigrate it by saying it's a trefa. And if they want to come to some conclusion like it's a, okay, that's it's a kosher, that's their problem. These are non-Jews. Very interesting story. Marzutra, who was the son of Rav Nachman, His father was the Reish Galuta's son-in-law. He was going from Sichra to Machuza. Varava, who lived in Machuza, Varav Safra, Vaka'atu the Sichra, they were coming in the opposite direction. Pagwadari, they met each other. Husa, Varape, Ka'atu. He thought that Rav and Rav Safra were coming out to greet him and to honor him. Amalu, Lamalu, Rabbani, Druach, Va'atu, Kulehai. Why did you come so far? You didn't have to bother yourself so far. So Rav Safra, Anun lo avia dinin dekatimar. We didn't know you were coming, which means he's telling the truth. We didn't come out for you. And if we had known, we would have come further. So Rav Maitamar leachi. So Rav said, why did you say that? Tachlishte the date. So he said, Rav said, why tell him that? You're making him feel bad. Why can't you just give him the impression that we came out to greet him? But if I don't tell him the truth, we're fooling him. Rav answered to you to Kamati Anafshe. If he would say, why, you don't have to trouble yourself so much, and we just nodded our heads. So he wants to come to his own conclusions. We didn't do anything to mislead him. We didn't say anything. We didn't do anything. The fact that he interpreted our actions that way, that's not our responsibility. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We're going to pick it up with more stories that are related to the issue of Gnevat Daat, and then we will get back to the issues of Basar, Biyar, Oved Kochavim, in the Sugya. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.